It's the lowdown on Sports 1440 for Wolf GMC Buick. Truck month continues in April. 0% financing for up to 60 months on your new Sierra or $8,000 discounts. Visit wolfgmcbuick.com. Twang Tuesday with Patsy Cline. Pure Patsy Cline. Man, that's the good stuff. Floyd Kramer on the piano. Willie Nelson wrote it.
That is one of our Twang Tuesday staples, and it's a great song. You know, that song recently got big with the younger generation on TikTok.
Oh, did really?
Yeah, it's like it was a trend, but, you know, I don't think they really appreciated how good Patsy Cline was or how good the song was.
So good, like Walking After Midnight, Three Coins in the Fountain, She's Got You, just a bazillion songs that she did that are fantastic. Okay, time for rumors. Man, there are some news today. Oh, my. Brought to you by Ewell. Ewell gives you more than premium quality electric products. They help elevate your projects. Contact Ewell to discuss how they can partner with your success. EWEL.ca. Thatcher Demko to miss Game 2. Potentially out for the series. How do you like that for applesauce? That's reported from Frank Saravalli at the Daily Faceoff. They don't know when, they don't know how, but Casey DeSmith might be your goaltender, Vancouver Canucks fans. And Elliot Friedman confirmed that. Don't know the injury, no specifics, don't know how long, but maybe the series. It sounds vague as vague can be, but that's where we are. Buffalo Sabres have hired Lindy Ruff as their next head coach. I know, wasn't he? Yeah, I understand, but he's back, baby. Jacob Voracek has announced a retirement from his playing career. Very well-known, really brilliant hockey player. The Oilers had a choice between him and Sam Gagne. And my goodness, was there a lot of talk about either or. Ryan Johansson not expected to play next year. Jeff Carter, I think you knew this. But he's retired as well. You knew Kucherov. Did you know that he won his second Art Ross Trophy, or does that surprise you?
Oh, did he now?
Yeah.
Wow.
They always confirm these afterwards, like Austin Matthews wins the Rocket Richard Trophy. And
I'm really going to start pushing the Kuch narrative whenever I get the chance.
Well, you really did the other day when you were
I'm really like, I'm telling you, man, he is a special player. Like, generationally special.
Well.
And he's won twice, so.
I mean, he's a great player, no doubt about it. And, you know, he's a great player in an era of great players. So if you win, I think if you win a Hart now, it means a lot more than if you were to win it in a year where everybody's different shades of gray. These guys are brilliant. People are arguing till midnight and then past that about who deserves it. That's a good sign. Text line open at 833-401-1440. So Evander Kane hasn't set the precedent on revealing an injury. Great show, gentlemen. I would say that it's still unusual for me. I mean, he played last night, played well, third line. It was just an unusual revelation that one doesn't hear often. And people are all over the media about making a big deal of it. I don't know how you can pass on that and not say something. It is unusual. And so people talked about it. I did. And he went out and played. And we talked to Gregor about it yesterday. And a great point. You know, how can you LTIR a guy who late in March said, I'm fine. And he played a lot. In order to LTIR somebody, they have to miss games. And then you have to put them on LTIR, assuming that they're out for a certain amount of time. Never happened. Patsy Cline is good, but she's no Vera Lynn. Well, them's fighting words. That's what that is. And we're going to get into Edith Piaf here pretty soon. And then everybody's going to be upset. Bad tide. You cut into Patsy Cline from Buck. I know. It's a crime. I should be arrested right now. Patsy Cline singing a Willie Nelson song, I Interrupt. That's not good.
They should give me the show right now.
Totally.
They shouldn't even think twice about it. You should be out of here. You should have been in your car by now. But they're too scared.
Well, because I've got my henchmen. Is that why? Or
why? Is Donovan around? I didn't see him.
Did you see at the end of the game, this is from Hontario Moms, Leon grabbed Anderson from behind, whispered something in his ear. It was a hilarious moment. Would love to know what he said. I'm sure it was, I hope you had a good evening. Crazy is my all-time favorite Patsy Cline song. My all-time favorite song ever, really, from Jana, long-time listener. Happy listener. Yeah? I grew up with that music, you know? All of those Patsy Cline songs I listened to when I was like 5 years old, and Jim Reeves, too. And we had lots of Elvis and Burl Ives and Liberace records. These are the hits. And Little Richard, too.
Little Richard is awesome. Not to get off on a tangent, but a boogie woogie or like whatever that one is. He's Tutti Frutti. That's what it is. He's great, man.
Boogie woogie. Why are people saying Klim Kostin Day? Is there some kind of a, is it Klim Kostin Day?
Todd, Klim Kostin was in the crowd wearing his own jersey. And it was awesome. It was awesome, and seeing him there and seeing the love he had for this team and for the, you know, the positive reception from the fan base and the love he had for the fans, it was incredible. I was very happy to see it. There's a video of him in the stands putting on his own jersey. Very, very, very cool. A cult hero, if you will.
Well, there you go. Three bad breaks like that can cost the game a team a series. The Elkham in one game, we still won said game from El Nate. There was a lot of, I thought the play that was reviewed, I thought that would go against the owners. It did not. They gave up a second goal by the end of the second. I thought that might bite them. It did not. You know, they're such a good team, and they were doing, you've got to do all the little things right. The attention to detail, and then the Gunners are going to gun, and that's what happened. McDavid, 5 assists. Leon, did you see the goal? Oh, my God. Hyman scoring. I thought the pairings were fine. I was a little worried about Desharnais when he took that low. Like, that's an intent to injure. The playoffs are a different set of rules, but that's, you know, what you say to Desharnais is don't get defended. Engelbert Humperdinck is underrated, okay? That seems to be out of left field, but I don't know. Maybe there's a reason for it. One thing I will say about the Edmonton Oilers right now, don't get ahead of yourselves. Do not get ahead of yourselves. But things are coming up Milhouse a little bit. Just a hint of it. Just a hint. Vegas plays terribly. Vancouver loses their starting goaltender. The Kings can't stay out of the penalty box. And they score 3 fluky goals and don't win. Colorado goes into Winnipeg and is alarmingly good. Hellebuck is human, and they lose. Who's the big hammer in the Western Conference right now? Colorado? Dallas? Vancouver? Very interesting. Look, I'm not... Dallas could win 4 in a row. Don't get me wrong. And Colorado could straighten up and fly right today. And maybe Winnipeg is real. We don't know any or all of those things. But what we do know is that last night at Rogers, the Edmonton Oilers were as good as it gets. Watching that game, it's hard to imagine there's another team that can play at that level with that kind of skill. Did you see McDavid's move on the first goal? He turns his back on the defender and he passes him going the other way like he's a house on the side of the road. That's skill, that's creativity, that's timing, that's brilliance, that's execution. Actually, execution is what we pretty much saw last night. And the Kings right now, I guarantee they're sitting down and they go, okay, who are we going to play against that top line? They flattened the Dano line. And they both of the Kings' top pairings had a hell of a time. So, I don't know, Jerry Korab doesn't play anymore. Anze Kopitar is not 25. Drew Doughty's not 26. And Jonathan Quick doesn't live here anymore. People are saying they'd like us to do another NFL draft, but we just don't have time today.
Oh, I got time today. I'll do the second round by myself if I have to.
It never fails to amaze me. We take one segment and we do something that isn't related to, you know, the Oilers. And people, well, not everybody, but some people lose their minds.
Listen, I'm fully aware this is an Oilers town and you're an Oilers guy. But, like, we talk about the Oilers, like, 95% of the time. The draft is in 2 days. They won big.
We talked about them at length. During the first hour. We'll talk about them at length in the second hour. The Oilers get lots of love.
Man, I'm telling you, the day you're sick and you ring me and you say, Declan, I need you to cover the show today. Record low listeners, because I'm just going to be, I'm just going to be listing off my top 10 shooting guards from the 1970s for the first hour. And then the second hour is going to be my top 10 edge rushers from the MAC conference. You know what I mean? So it's going to be tough.
Oh, man. I that's all my podcast is going to be. It's going to be me reading from my book, talking about rodents that I've captured in my house. Parcheesi, my favorite. I'll tell you, I got this thing. I make scrambled eggs right now that I it is mind-blowingly good. Here it is. 3 scrambled eggs in a pan. Salt and pepper. You can use seasoning salt if you want. Onions, cut up green onions. A little bit of cheese, but shave it real nice. Like, this can't be too chunky. Throw that in late. And then a dollop, I will say a tablespoon, of Olive Garden salad dressing. Oh my God, is it good? And of course, because I'm not a chef and I don't really know what they do, I can call myself one. But that is my invention and I flat out love it. I have that for supper sometimes. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. I have that for, that's how good it is. LT, what did you think of Holloway's game? I thought he played well. He's a little bit rambunctious. He doesn't shy from traffic. He was getting in on the forecheck. He was trying to make plays. And that's all you want. Because when you're trying to make a play in the offensive zone, guess what? It's not in the defensive zone. That's all that is. And he's using his line mates. I'm very pleased with him. And more than that, I think if you're an Oilers fan, you should be thrilled that he's doing this in front of the coaching staff that's here now. Because I don't think they knew him real well. They don't know Broberg at all. And that's difficult because if you don't know a player, how are you going to assess him in a Stanley Cup playoff game? But they put him in the fourth line. He was maybe going to be on the third line. He's on the fourth. As this series rolls along, I think they'll have more confidence. You know, if they get up 3 Cobb, you know, Kane might rest. But I thought the McLeod Kane Perry line really wrecked havoc. Like that was your hammer line. That was your line to go in there and make a noise. And they did. I can't pick a guy that I was displeased with last night. Cody Ceci stick, that's it. That was a really, really good hockey game by a very good team with ridiculous talent at the top. Guys, most people have 30-minute lunch breaks. If we could talk about the Oilers for the first 30, we did. I talked at length. We took a break at what, 18 after? The first 18 minutes of this show. You can go back and listen on podcast, all about the Oilers. I entered the show pumped because I was thrilled for Oilers fans. Still am. It was a brilliant game. Now, if you got out at 20 after, you would have listened to a mock draft, but then we got right back to the Oilers. We did that draft in like record time too, by the way.
Yep. Well, you guys were hurrying it along, but.
Well, we didn't give you your time because you take time.
Well, you know what? That segment wasn't even my suggestion. So I'm not too beat up about it, but.
Low tide, you have to add 3 drops of Tabasco sauce to the scrambled eggs prior to cooking. Okay, I'll try that. I thoroughly enjoyed the NFL draft. Could use some more NBA talk from Husks.
Uh-oh, did I just hear? Some more NBA talk. Don't give me the mic for two hours.
Wrong person. I agree, Declan. 95% Oilers is too much Oilers. Spread the wealth, brother. From Habman. Well, I think that we can, at times, do things that are not Oiler specific. This obviously is a big day. But if you go back and listen to the amount of time we've devoted to the Oilers today, it's pretty much all of it. I mean, in all seriousness.
And listen, I'm probably coming across a little anti-Oilers right now. And I'm not at all. I love the Oilers. I love this team. I think this team is fully capable of making a deep run. But this is a series that I fully expect the Oilers to win in five games. I think they grossly mismatch the LA Kings. I think we talked about that for 2-3 weeks leading up to the end of the regular season because we knew the matchup was probably going to be either LA or Vegas. We talked about how overmatched LA was. They went out. They beat the brakes off them. I know they ended up getting a little bit sloppy. Be giving up four goals as the game went on, but they were so far and away the better team. Like LA, congrats to them. You made the playoffs, whatever. You're going to lose for the third year in a row. It is what it is. LA is not on the same playing field as the Oilers, but this is what we expected. This isn't news to us, right? They have a great game. That's what we wanted to see, but moreover, that's what we expected to see.
Plus,
and that's where I stand.
We have a show and we rolled it out, and you know, as a for instance, I've been sitting on a question for over an hour now, but I was waiting for somebody that I could ask the question to. Daniel Nugent Bowman from The Athletic is our guest, and I'm going to ask him why the Oilers recalled Philip Broberg today and why he was in practice and why he would be the next man up if there were an injury, and yet there's no reports of injury. I mean, that's a good question, right? You probably want to know the answer to that, right? But you also want to hear it from somebody who's had the chance to kind of suss out maybe what's going on. And maybe there's been nothing. Maybe there's been nothing from the Oilers. But I will say this. We are going to find out. We are going to get you that information. And if there's no word next, or when we talk to Daniel, Jason Greger will have it for you. 117, this is the Lowdown, DNB next. It's the Lowdown on Sports 1440, brought to you by Wolf GMC Buick. Truck Month continues in April. Check it out, wolfgmcbuick.com. Joined now by our friend Daniel Nugent Bowman from The Athletic. What a game last night. Connor McDavid was fire. Leon Draisaitl scores a goal for the ages. It has to be fun for Edmonton Oilers fans right now because everybody's firing on all pistons, right, Daniel?
You like that fire term, eh? You're so hip.
Fire.
You're way hipper than I am.
No, I'm not.
I don't think my game was ever in doubt. I mean, from the moment I put in my coffee, like the moment Hyman scored, but even that chance that he had when he hit the post kind of from a sharp angle, you could kind of tell that the Oilers were bringing it last night. So, yeah, the Kings made it a little bit interesting in the second period and I guess a little in the third as well, but I never thought that game was remotely in question for the Oilers. It's a welcome change for them after, you know, so many failed game ones. I mean, 7 in a row over 7 years. Of course, we weren't in the playoffs every year of those seven, but it was long overdue to get a series off on the right note. And if they can continue playing this well and make quick work of the Kings, and then obviously that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, that could bode really well for a team that aspires to do some good things here this spring.
Daniel, the numbers really favored the Oilers in a lot of different places. The Daniel line was one goal 4-3 up against the McDavid line. That was thought to be maybe something we'd see. Certainly the Doughty pairing had trouble with the McDavid line at 5-on-5. And I guess maybe even the bigger problem is the Kings were just parading to the penalty box, and that's never a good idea against this team.
No, even though the Kings have a much better penalty kill than they have in the past, than they have over the last couple of series, heading into the last couple of series, rather. And in those series, I mean, the Oilers torched them on the power play last year. The Kings were the second-best team on the PK this year Didn't look like it in game one. I mean, the Oilers had their way with them going 3-for-4. But McDavid saying that they have a few more tricks up their sleeve, that doesn't sound too good for Los Angeles. So, yeah, if you're going to struggle at 5-on-5 the way they did, the way Danault and his line mates did when he's typically a staunch defensive player, and Doughty was pretty good with Mikey Anderson, not to mention Gavrikov and Roy, you know, they had their whole top four wasn't very good last night on defense. That's a lot of issues, a lot of things for them to clean up, and a lot of things that the Oilers can hopefully, for their sake, or if they're thinking about it, take that toward game two, because they certainly controlled game one, basically doing everything that they wanted to accomplish.
Daniel, NHL player safety have reviewed the Trevor Moore low blow against Vincent Desharnais. They decided there's no discipline coming for that. It looked like it looked very dangerous, and obviously Desharnais was you know, it took him a minute to rejoin the game. Your thoughts on that? And also there was a slash on Hyman. My feeling is the Kings are kind of like that. They are an edgy team, and you are going to, if you beat them, and even if you don't, you're going to pay a physical price.
Right. I mean, quite frankly, I didn't look at either too closely beyond what happened in the moment. Especially, you know, the Desharnais one by Moore looks a little cheap to me. It looks a little bit low, but something that, you know, I think would probably be worthy of a fine or something to that degree. Yeah, I don't know if it was suspension worthy, especially with, given no injury and how they seem to kind of have the you know, the max you know, the multiplier rather, excuse me, for playoff games over regular season games. So yeah, I mean, but to your point, Alec, the Kings are like that, and I think any Oilers fan, and certainly Leon Draisaitl knows, you know, what happened in game six a couple years ago, where Mikey Anderson pulled him down gave him a high ankle sprain, and that really limited his mobility. I was going to say it limited him, but I, you know, with the way he performed in that playoffs, I'm not sure it really did. But yeah, I think the things that you're playing are like that. You know, they have a lot of players that are pretty feisty. You know, there's a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois who took a couple of bad penalties. We'll see how him being able to walk the line and, I mean, with a different officiating crew, we can get a couple of extra shots in. But if the standard is going to be upheld the way it was in game one, the Kings had better watch themselves, because as we talked about earlier, the Oilers getting on the power play too often does not bode well for them.
No, and it was such in many ways an historic night. You know, Connor McDavid, 5 assists. I know in your piece you wrote, that's the most since Jeff Courtnell in 1988. I don't even know if you were born in 1988, but that, he was a hell of a player, but that is an enormous accomplishment.
Yeah, 98, so I hope I didn't have that wrong, but it's 25 years or 26 years. I was born in 98. I was born in 88, too. You know, I'll date myself. I was born in 87, so I don't remember anything from 88, but anyway, yeah, I mean, anytime you can do something that hasn't been done in a quarter century, that's pretty good. You know what, we didn't talk about it too much. We did talk to him after the game, but Evan Bouchard was almost right there too. So yeah, and one guy getting 5 assists, one guy getting 4. Obviously the power play had a big factor in that, with them getting the 3 power play goals, and those two touched the puck a lot along with Leon Draisaitl. To have 2 guys with, you know, combining for 9 assists, and you talk about Zach Hyman with a hat trick and a helper himself, you know, the power play working well, and obviously as we talked about, the top line doing very well as well, really getting on Danault's line and the top, specifically the top pair of Anderson and Doughty for the Kings. So, yeah, I was talking to Corey Perry in the morning yesterday, and it's kind of like, well, if the depth guys get going too, the Oilers could be a pretty well-oiled machine, if I should say so myself. So it's a group that I think is primed and ready to win. And if they can get through this series quickly, I really like the prospects for a long playoff run here.
Well, and with Thatcher Demko out for the next game in Vancouver, and they don't know if he's back for the series, that's obviously having could have some impact as well. Daniel Nugent-Bowman, our guest from The Athletic on Sports 1440, has been covering the Oilers season and now postseason like a blanket, doing a terrific job. I want to ask you this because it's interesting news. I did read your tweets, so last I've known, we don't know specifically, but the Bakersfield Condors start their playoff series against Ontario Reign in Ontario, California tomorrow. Philip Broberg has been recalled by the Oilers, and that's several pieces of information that are interesting and leads one to believe, if their spider senses are working, that maybe there's a need here for Philip Broberg.
I mean, I don't know. I've asked around. I haven't had a clear answer, naturally, and that makes a lot of sense given that it's the playoffs, so maybe somebody will get that answer before I do. But they sent Philip Broberg down on the Oilers' last game was Thursday. I believe they sent him down on Friday, if I have that correct, because he did play Saturday in Bakersfield. So you're right. I mean, Bakersfield is supposed to start a best-of-three series tonight. And unless they have a direct flight going to Bakersfield that I don't know about, or Darryl Cape wants to get his plane down there, I don't think Philip Broberg is playing this game. He just practiced here today. So does that mean he's going to be in the lineup here for Edmonton shortly? Again, I don't think so, because all those left shot D are, you know, obviously they you know, the Oilers as a team did very well in game one, and all those guys practiced here today. So, you know, you would think, you know, maybe somebody has a nick or something that they're concerned about, but there was some little bit of talk last night if maybe they could get him on a plane this morning and get him to Bakersfield. That obviously did not happen. But the thing here is that Philip Broberg is the next man up on the left side. They want to keep Troy Stetcher as much as they can on the right side in case of injury, and Philip Broberg's that next guy on the left side. So maybe there was a change of heart, and if somebody becomes ill in the morning or somebody gets hurt in practice, Philip Broberg's already here and they don't have to bring him up. Maybe that's what it's for. I don't expect him to be in the lineup tomorrow, barring something unforeseen, like an illness or a sudden injury or something like that. I think it's more of a precautionary thing he's up here, but it does take him away from playoff action, from the Condors. But when you have a team like the Oilers that are, you know, expected to go far and they're very much hoping to win the Stanley Cup, I'm sorry, but the AHL playoff run is secondary to that. So if that means they got to keep Broberg here, then that's what's best for them, then they shouldn't be doing that.
Daniel, final question. I love the clarity that you write with, and I love this two-sentence area of your piece about Oilers Game 1 win against the Kings. You say, quibble over goalie Stuart Skinner's stats all you want. He allowed 4 goals on 37 shots. Really, though, it's hard to find fault on any of them. I agree completely. In fact, I will say that 2 in-off skates and then one where the Sherwood just stopped working, I thought he was really good. And you know, not that anybody's complaining specifically, but those fluky goals, I don't want them to obscure what was a pretty solid effort. Fair?
Yeah, you look at his stat line, you say 4 goals on 37 shots, really? But again, I don't think you really fault him on any of those goals. I mean, 2 of them go off a guy's feet when you're not expecting that. And I mean, the one was clearly, CC has a fucking complete control, his stick blows up now. Should he put the puck in the middle of the slot? Maybe that's another debate. Maybe you want to shuffle that into the corner. But anyway, it created a quick 2-on-1, and then, you know, it's going to happen with 1:11 left. Maybe the one you like to see him get is the Anderson one from distance, but he did not see it. He was through a screen. I guess you if you're criticizing, you want to see him fight through that a little bit more, maybe, perhaps. I don't know. But I don't think he, if you're an Oilers fan, if you're somebody with the team, and this team, a lot of it has to, you know, goaltending, you know, the primary criticism of a team that, you know, it could be their undoing. I don't think you look at Stewart's performance and say, oh, we're in trouble here. I think you think of it as, okay, that was a pretty good start. He's got lots to build on. Could he have been better? Sure. But lots to build on, and nothing wrong at all. with the way he played in game one.
I lied. This is the final question. The usage of the McLeod line with Kane and Perry, I found interesting because they were very physical and they were working hard in the offensive zone. And I like that line, and they're using it kind of as a ramrod. We had a report, actually Kane, a quote from Kane talking about, sports hernia. And I, you know, one got the feeling that, you know, maybe he would or wouldn't play. He was on the fourth line at practice. That line really showed up and I thought they were effective.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it was kind of, weird, difficult to find the right, mix for them. You saw a lot when they got their D zone starts. Especially the faceoff was on the right side. Sam Carrick would take that also happened even when McDavid was on the ice, and they would take Hyman off too. So McLeod, you know, lost some minutes there. Of course, he finally kills, so you know, he probably got a little bit back at some point. Yeah, I mean, Evander Kane is definitely an X factor for this team when you look at how well he performed in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Now, obviously, he's been dealing with a lot of injuries, and the sports hernia one that is obviously the most pressing and the one that he said he's been dealing with all year and certainly kept him out the last week of the year. So that's, I think it's really prevented him from being more of a contributor, being regular in the top six. But when you combine Kane with Perry, you know, there's a lot of playoff games there. There's, especially with Perry, there's a lot of you know, physicality and kind of greasy play, as I like to describe Perry. But I think Kane can certainly bring that too, especially with McLeod's feet. And if we happen to need to throw Dylan Holloway in there, he's got some of that too. So I think there's a lot of elements to that third line, and specifically parts of the bottom six. I mean, the fourth line's a little bit of a mixed bag right now, but I think they're as close to being, you know, the best, having the best depth and the most complete depth that they've ever had here, certainly in the Ken Holland / Connor McDavid era. So, again, I think this all just bodes very well for what could be in store here.
Daniel, thanks for this. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Talk to you soon.
All right, Daniel Nugent-Bowman. We're on with him every Tuesday at 1:20, and I thought he gave really interesting answers on Broberg, on the team, and what the Kings have to do. You know, we always focus on the Oilers, but, you know, the Los Angeles Kings came into this series looking to do, you know, they want to split at least, you know, in Edmonton. And they might get one, but they have to play way better in the heart of the game. And that's against the McDavid line, against the Draisaitl line, and really even the McLeod line. That was a fascinating game one. Wow. You know, we had talked about Hyman, McDavid, Draisaitl. We had not mentioned Bouchard until Daniel did. He had a big night last night. Some really heady passes. They used to say that back in the day. Headman passes, heady passes. They don't do anymore. All these kids have their new phrases about making the scene. That was a game that has ignited the city of Edmonton. Based on the texts we're getting, people are excited about these Edmonton Oilers.
As they should be.
Yeah.
As they should be. This team is more than capable of making it to the Stanley Cup Finals and winning it. Which I think everyone kind of knew, but it's always nice to hear, right? It's always nice to have that that reiteration of it. But seriously, man, like they're one of the few that could do it. There's a handful, and the Oilers are one of them.
Yep, and if they play like that, 16W, baby. Okay, I have a Hacksaw has texted in with a theory about why Philip Broberg is here. I will share it with you next. Lowdown with Low Tide on Sports 1440. It's the Lowdown with Low Tide on Sports 1440, Twang Tuesday, brought to you by Wolf GMC Buick. Truck Month continues in April. Check it out, wolfgmcbuick.com. I want to thank Merle Haggard. He's the guy who got my dad to scream, sing, LSD in the big three-quarter ton red GMC back in whatever year that was. That's a visual that's never gone away. All right. This was interesting because Philip Broberg has been recalled by the Oilers, and Bakersfield plays tomorrow night. It could be just a matter of having the kind of depth you need in case of an emergency, like break glass in case of an emergency. The Oilers may have just decided, look, we can't risk this. We need 8 defensemen up here. We need Roberg up here just in case. But Hacksaw said, I think Broberg's call up in case the big man has a Charlie horse that likely stiffens up today. So we don't know. What I take from that from Hacksaw is we don't know. You know, the game of hockey happens at lightning speed. And, you know, I saw the Hyman, the slash on Hyman. I saw the undercutting of the tall tree Desharnais. But there's probably a bunch of things you and I did not see last night. And it may be something specific, or it may just be, hey, the way this series is being played, we better have all hands on deck. Now, Bakersfield Condors are going to miss Philip Broberg. I've watched their games all year, and he is a massive part of that team. They can't afford to have he and Dylan Holloway out of the lineup. But this is the point at which a National Hockey League team, i.e. Ken Holland and his management group that includes, you know, Keith Gretzky, who obviously has a lot to do with Bakersfield, they have to make decisions based on, as if you're a Star Trek fan, the greater good. And the greater good in this particular case is the Edmonton Oilers' playoff hopes. So that's a fact. Bakersfield's playoffs hopes are secondary to Edmonton's Stanley Cup hopes. That's why farm teams exist. LA got away with lots of cross-checks, slashes, and after the whistle, garbage. 3 free shots on Nuge, early power play, one example. Refs could easily have called a lot more. Whether LA will be penalized, as they should be, remains to be seen. Refs better not swallow the whistle just because the Oilers' power play is so good. Either way, LA is in trouble, from Rob. They've done this all the time, Rob. The Los Angeles Kings in the regular season play at the edge. And in the postseason, they take liberty. So does Vegas, and so do the Oilers. It's a different kind of game in the playoffs. And that's why I have said, Gregor said, others have said, guys like Evander Kane have extra value. Because Kane is intimidated by nothing that I know of. And so remember when Tkachuk was running in his mouth a couple of years ago and how quickly that was diffused by Kane? The game of hockey changes when the playoffs occur. Now, you need the guy to be able to help his line outscore. He can't just be a drag on actual hockey playing. But the Edmonton, they've got some nasty pieces in there. Corey Perry is not a wallflower. Corey Perry does stuff that is wildly irritating to the opposition, and he does it for fun. Evander Kane runs, gets run over, and he runs over people. And I mean, he's a load. He's a big, big man, and he can skate. Those elements are important to the Edmonton Oilers. And they've got us, like Leon missed a check, I think, and he fell into the boards early in the game. I'm like, oh my God. You know, because that's what you want to avoid. You want to. Everybody needs to be healthy at the start of the playoffs. Everybody needs to be healthy at the beginning of the second round and the third round, and then definitely the Stanley Cup final. And that's how you win Stanley. 16-W. It's the playoffs. Okay, I understand. Still, somebody slashes Hyman on the wrist and he's out for the rest of the year. That's a severe price to pay. Doesn't heady mean smart passes? That's how I always used it from L. Nate. It can mean like a headman pass or a heady, but heady play can be, you know, good two-way play. Dave Keon was a heady player. Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Adam Henrique. Smart players. That's what it means to me. Kane should be on with Nugent Dreisaitl line. Fogle should be down third or fourth even. Big difference in skill set. Kane's twice the winger Fogle is. Fogle isn't a top two-line guy, doesn't have the skill. I think, Brett, if Kane were 100%, I think that is something that we could talk about. I just don't think he is. And, you know, his passing wasn't fabulous. You know, Kane's not he's not like Leon, but he can pass. He's got skill. And, you know, he's been a hell of a shot, I'll say that about Evander Kane. Man. Hockey Broad, Can't afford to have Broberg get hurt in Bakersfield. Well, that's a good point, too. And they are playing the Los Angeles Kings farm team. So if you're a fan of conspiracy theories, like my friend Declan is, all about the conspiracies. All the time.
I welcome a good conspiracy theory. I love a good conspiracy theory, and I also love a good sports conspiracy theory.
Totally, right?
Which is why I'm so invested in this Mark Stone 3 years in a row nonsense. You know?
Mm. Tiger, but, I'm sorry?
No. Sorry. I was just going to say, by Hockey Broad, you touched on it. Like, that is a great point. Something I didn't really consider at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great point. That's a very educated text. I'm smarter for reading it, and I appreciate that.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't even read it. I read it for you.
Oh, I read it before, but you did. You articulated it.
Okay. So, yeah. I read it properly and with the proper, you know.
You sounded out the words that, sure, I wasn't able, like a forward and have. You, I appreciate that. That's a tough one.
Hi, Alan. That low bridge on Vinny was a good example of why Broberg has to be up here. At any moment, we could be down a left shot D-man. Totally right. Vinny might be hurt, sure. I mean, I get that, but Troy Stetcher probably slides in as a righty D. Maybe I'm wrong.
According to reports at the skate today, Vinny Desharnais was a full participant and looked fine.
Yeah.
So, for what it's worth.
Is DNB calling from the moon? There's always background issues. Jumpin' Jack Flash. Well, we get him from the rink. You know, he goes down to practice and he calls from there. And it's like... I mean, he could drive somewhere else and do it, but we want him live and we want him now. So he's doing us a favor because that sort of information is really valuable. We love having DNB on this show. We just love him to death. If he called from the moon, if he called from Bruce McCurdy's, you know, old-timey, redonkulous phone that barely works, totally would be fine. We'd put him on the air.
After the season's over, I think you should kind of rotate all the regulars and have them in with each other. Like one day it'll be DNB and Rachel, and then another day it'll be McCurdy and Bagged Milk, and then another day Rachel and Lansky, and just keep rotating the cast of characters until you've hit all perms and comms, and they've all been able to discuss the Oilers, the NHL, and the good old days with each other.
You know that some of these people don't live in Edmonton, right?
Just two. Right? We can fly them out.
Daniel and McCurdy are here.
Yeah.
Rachel's in out east.
Yeah. So she'd be the tough one. Lansky's down south.
Yeah. But I mean, Lansky, I mean, if he got in his car to drive to Edmonton, would he get here?
Well, listen, I thought this idea was going to be well received, but this could not have gone worse for me.
Well, it's not that I don't love the idea. I just, you know, logistics are a thing, and you young people never think of that. You're all about, oh my God, what a wonderful world this would be. And then you don't think about.
Also, just jumping back to what the text line said about Daniel, I made it a point to fade him down when he wasn't talking. It actually cost me once or twice getting to fade him back up. I wasn't quick enough. But the fact that they were still able to comment on the background noise when I faded him down after every question or during every question you asked speaks to how bad it really was.
Do you find your motor skills are fading? Because I think they are.
What? Why?
Because you weren't able to get the slide pod up and down.
You know what it was? I have now like a third monitor over here that I'm kind of working on a little bit. So I was over there. Then I was trying to jump back and I was slowing down. But I think overall I'm okay.
So are we interrupting your Mahjong game? Is that what's happening here?
No. I'm working over here. I hustle, man. I get here. I hustle for 6 hours. I argue. I try and spread the good word of basketball and football.
Yeah.
To no reception.
Well, you ruined everybody today with that NFL draft of yours that I never endorsed.
This is such revisionist history. I want everyone to listen. I'm more than happy to take anything on the chin. That was not my idea. I will not take the fall for that.
It was my idea. I defend it. I think it was brilliant. And we covered the Oilers better because of it. We had so much going on.
Now, Tide, if I may pick your brain a little bit in the last few minutes of the show here, four games on the schedule today. We haven't talked a whole too much about the rest of the series in the league, especially out east. But, you know, we see Washington in New York. We see Tampa in Florida. Obviously, Colorado's back in Winnipeg for game two, and then Nashville and Vancouver as well.
I
just thoughts around the rest of the matchups. I know we don't focus on the East as much until the Stanley Cup Finals. Makes sense. But I just wanted to pick your brain and get your hockey sense on some of those matchups.
Well, I think that Florida looks really good. And I like Tampa Bay, but I don't think they have the oomph. Rangers are they've kind of got an easy mark. Washington's not really there. I mean, they got in, good for them. Colorado, Winnipeg. I mean, Colorado just has to get goaltending, and I don't know if they're going to. And then Nashville at Vancouver changes because of Demko. That's a big deal. And so I'm not saying Vancouver probably wins the series anyway, but he won't play game two. That's like this is a big deal, you know?
Vancouver still favored tonight in that matchup.
Yeah. Well,
one of the lines here.
But what'll happen is if Nashville wins tonight, then it's a brand new Teddy ball game. Boston, Toronto, people aren't talking the same way about that series. In fact, the Eastern media is talking about Toronto winning the Stanley Cup now, which I think is a bit of a stretch, but we'll see. Vegas, Dallas. Dallas, man, they need some stops, but I think they're the better team. We'll see. We'll see. Did we do everything? Do we have anything to conclude?
Yeah, listen, I think we went over everything pretty well, right?
Yeah, I think we have hammered what we needed to hammer.
Listen, the Oil won big. Everything is going well. Edmonton, I'm excited for game two.
Edmonton
sports are flying.
Edmonton gets excited when the Oilers do well. And man, they did well last night. That was just a hell of a hockey game. And, you know, Los Angeles is no easy mark. They're a good team, too. They just were not in the same class as Edmonton. And if the Oilers do that again in game number two, and Daniel talked about it, there's a chance this is going to be a short series. And man, if that's the case, then you just get a little bit of giddy up for that second round, which is awesome. Bruce McCurdy tomorrow, right?
Yes, our beloved Bruce will be by tomorrow.
His potato phone. Hi, El, the stars are out there. Talk a little bit about the sun, the moon, and the stars. Lovely moon this morning. I took a photograph and sent it out. You probably didn't know. Don't pay any attention to my Twitter. We didn't mention the Jays. That's okay. They're good. They just need a little more help. But they're coming along. They'll be okay. I don't know if they're a playoff team. Jason Gregor is on the way. Last night was wild at Rogers. Today, Broberg recall. Some interesting things happening. Jason will crack the mic in about 7 minutes. Thanks so much for tuning into The Lowdown. Please enjoy your day. On the way, an update.